Bava Basra, Perk Tes, Mishnah Hey 9-5. In the previous Mishnah, we discussed gifts given to bridegrooms called the Shushbinos. So now we're going to go off topic here in this Mishnah, meaning the topic of our Perk really is about how to allocate resources left from an estate or from like a person who's died. But here we're going to talk about gifts that go from the Chasan to the Kala, and they're called Sivlonos. These are gifts that are given after the first stage of marriage, called Erison. So that means the Maisa Kedushin happened. He gave her the ring. She said, yes, she took the ring. Now they're committed to live together, husband and wife. They're already, actually, she's an Ashes Is, she's married, but she's living in her father's home for the next, let's call it, year. And that was typical in the time of the Mishnah. She'd be doing this at around the age of 12, give or take, and then a year later, give or take, they would actually have the second stage chuppah, and then she would, you know, move in to his home, not her father's home. So the custom was that the groom, the chasam, would give the sivlonos immediately after the erusin, like the next day after she took the ring. He would send her gifts, and she would have those gifts to enjoy while she was with her, living in her husband, in her father's home, excuse me, until she moves in with her husband, like call it a year later. Now those gifts can come in two basic categories as far as our mission is concerned. There are gifts that essentially are expected to be consumed and used up and enjoyed while she's living in her father's home. And there are, that's livalot, that can wear out. And then there are other gifts that are expected to be durable and persist and be brought into their new home together. So in other words, if he sends her, you know, chocolates and wine and even money, those things, of course, are going to be consumed while she is living at home with her father. If he sends her, you know, a gold bracelet, or even, let's say, I don't know, tablecloths, and that kind of thing. So those things are going to last, call it for a lifetime, and she's going to bring them into the marriage. Okay, so the question our mission wants to discuss is, what happens if, after the erison, the wedding ends up getting called off? That could happen either in that she dies, or he dies, so then of course the wedding's off, the chuppah part of it, and the suin. Or he could just change his mind. He'd have to give her a get, a woman who has accepted Eris and Kedushin already, is an Ashes Ish, so a get is required, but he could give her a get, calling off the marriage. Or she could essentially back out. She would again need a get, but if she's just refusing to live with him, so then, you know, the marriage is going to come to an end before it even starts. So that's another possibility. But leave that last possibility out for now, because it's more complicated. The point is, if one of them die or he gives her a get and backs out, so what happens to those gifts that he gave? Since those gifts are being given, the sivlonos, obviously, and this is clear, and this is the assumption of the Mishnah, because they're being given because they're going to be getting married, which means now if they actually don't get married, so can he essentially demand them back? So the general rule would be, yes, he could demand them back because he only gave them, assuming they're going to be married, and they didn't get married. And therefore, he could even collect from her heirs, or his heirs could collect from her, if the marriage doesn't go through. However, says the Mishnah, a little more complicated than that. Hasholeach sivlonos lebeis chamav. The chasen sends these gifts to his future, I'll call it future wife, for lack of a better term, right? But whatever, you know, who's now still living in her, she's an Ashes Ish because she had Kedushin, but she's living in her father's home. Shalach sham mea mana. Even if he sent mea mana, a mana is like 10, is 100 dinar. So mea mana would be like 100 times 100 dinar, which is like 10,000 dinars. So you can essentially have 10,000 dinars worth of stuff that these are consumable specifically. It doesn't say in the Mishnah, but we're not talking about diamond rings. We're talking here about, you know, bottles of wine and chocolates and even spending money. If then, va'achal sham su'udas chasan, afilu b'dinar, if after that he has this meal, the Mishnah refers to as the su'udas chasan, at his father-in-law's home, I'll explain that in a moment, then as long as it's worth even just one dinar, but it's at least a dinar, the value of that meal, Eina Nigman, he can't demand back all those consumable items because he is understood to have been mochel to waive his rights to reclaim them. So here's what's going on here. So the Sudas Chasan really can refer, that term, Sudas Chasan can refer to one of two separate meals, and that's a little confusing. There'd be like, for lack of a better term, like a public, you know, vort engagement party type meal. And then that's not what a Mishnah means. There's also a second meal which is, I'll call it, a private meal, where the chassan, so they get engaged and they have a public meal that could be called the Sudas Chassan. That's not what our Mishnah means. Then he sends her Sivlonos, and then he goes over and has like a private meal to rejoice with the family privately. Okay, that's the Sudas Chassan we're talking about, like the Sudas Sivlonos, so to speak. So the thought is that if he has that experience, he's so happy with his new future wife and family, his joy is such at that meal that he is mochel. He gives it to her like with no strings attached. Whatever he gave is now hers to keep, assuming it's not durable, you know, things that are for consumption. And he would never claim them back, even in the event that the marriage never gets to the nisuin stage. Okay. Lo achal sham sudas chasan. If, however, he never had that experience of going to his father-in-law's home and eating that festive meal after he gave the savlonos in that private way, so then hare ela nigmin, so then he wasn't mochel on anything. So he gave all these gifts, yes, but the gifts were based on the assumption, the contingency, they're going to get married. If they never get married, so that's even not her fault. She died, okay? So then hare ela nigmin, he can collect them. I mean, he can go to his father-in-law and say, listen, I sent these bottles of wine because we were getting married. We never got married, so you owe me back the bottles of wine. They will be collected. Meaning nigbin means collected and like enforced in bezin. So let me clarify that. It's not just that they're choser, not just like whatever's left gets returned. It's that he actually could enforce in a bezin a full reimbursement of whatever he gave. Okay, because he wasn't mochel in anything, and his gift was a contingent gift on the marriage, which never came to be. Now, the next part of our Mishnah here according to the Bar Tanura, who learns like the Rashbam, the issue here is when he says something explicit. Okay, up to now the gifts was no explicit mention of what he was thinking, but now, according to the Bar Tanura, what's happening is if it's shalach sivlonos merubin sheyachzru ima lebes baala, if he sends her a lot of gifts, but that's not the point. The point is, and he explicitly says he's expecting these things he brought in to Beis Ba'ala to be brought into his home. She should bring these gifts with her into the new marriage. So then, since he was explicit about it, Harei L'Nigben, so then at all events, they're going to be, have to be like returned to him, or the value returned to him, if the marriage is called off. And that is regardless of what happens with this suda. The suda wasn't explicit, but if it was explicit, so then, since he says explicitly, I'm intending to get everything reimbursed, if it doesn't go through, he gets reimbursed everything. On the flip side, if he explicitly says that they're for use while she's in her father's home, sivlonos mu'aten shetish touch, he sends her a lesser amount of gifts, but according to the Bar Tanura, that's not essential. That's just what would be normal. But the essential point is shetish tamesh bahen bebeis avia. He says explicitly, these are for your enjoyment while you're still living at home in your father's home. So then he's saying clearly that he doesn't expect them to come back to him. Ain't a nigman, then he doesn't collect them back again. Okay, meaning that even if the marriage goes through, he's given as a gift, clearly explicitly saying it doesn't have to come back. So then he doesn't collect them. Now, that's how the Bar Tanura learns, like the Rashbam, that it's all about what he says explicitly, and the mention here about Merubin and Mu'atin is just simply incidental. That would be the normal cases. Lahalacha, the Mefarshim learn differently. The Mefarshim learn, essentially, the difference between the second part of the Mishnah and the first part of the Mishnah is not what he says explicitly, but rather we're talking about durable things that would be expected to persist and be around for the marriage versus things that aren't. So in other words, if he gave the things he gives that should be expected to be brought into his home, future home, those are recollected, and the things that aren't, not. They're understood to be kept by her.